I'm David Hatcher, EG's Head of Content, and I'm here with Rob Knoll, Chief Executive of Land Securities, and perhaps more importantly, at least for just for today, the new President of the British Property Federation. Rob, congratulations on taking up the post.
Good morning, David. Thank you.
It's not a jump straight into the post. You've had a couple of years warm up as a junior vice president and vice president. How's that worked out for you? What have been the highlights and the difficulties? What have you learned along the way?
Well, it's been pretty smooth, to be frank. This is a fairly well-trodden path. You become junior vice president, then president. So it's a three-year term by the time you've finished your role. And we absolutely act as a team, so we have continuity through the piece. So I took over from Paul Brundage, and before that, David Sleeth. So we operated as a team for a year, and then it was Paul and me, and then Alan Gordon for the next year. And we move on to the year coming with a lot of hope and joy.
Excellent. Pleased to hear it. So give us a little bit of colour about the approaches that you've seen so far in your term. What was David Sleeth's way of going about things, and the enigmatic Paul Brundage as well, should we say?
Well, we've all been pretty well aligned. And of course, if you remember, at the time I joined as JVP, the UK just voted to leave the EU, so it's been quite a tumultuous period over the last couple of years. A lot of things we've been covering together, the Brexit manifesto, response to BEPS, the sector deal as part of the industrial strategy, working with civil servants on the emerging housing white paper, and more recently, CVAs and our reaction to the sort of increased use of those.
And obviously you'll want a sense of continuation, but what are your big goals for the year that you want to set out?
Well, there are two things really that I want to achieve, and the president in his 1 year can't do very much. And we have an excellent executive team led by Melanie Leach at BPFHQ. But there are two broad themes for me. First of all is the continuity of driving the emerging diversity and inclusion agenda for our industry, building a social purpose and having a much more representative body of population within the real estate industry. And secondly, improving the perception of the property industry as a responsible and vital role for the UK's economy. And when it boils down to it, we are an essential provider of infrastructure for human beings. That's what we do, and we should do it well.
So, touching on each of those two points a little further, on the diversity agenda, I think it's fair to say, hopefully, that the property industry has come quite a long way over the last couple of years in terms of self-awareness. What practical things can and should be done for further improvement, and what can the BPF do to encourage that?
So I think the real estate industry hasn't even really begun on this journey yet. We are talking about it, and people are being pointed in the right direction, but we have an awful long way to go. The perception of this industry is that we are white and middle-aged and middle-class, and we are not representative of the society whose product we provide. So in terms of what the BPF can do about this, it's really more of a convener of thought practice. We are teamed up with Real Estate Balance, which is a moving towards improved gender diversity within the business. We're teamed up with Freehold, which is more about LGBT plus. We're teamed up with Purple, and also Pathways to Property for social mobility. And these are all incredibly important and vital in order to drive a more diverse and inclusive industry.
Are there any particular types of best practice that you'd like to see adopted by companies, be it the way that they're recruiting, ratios? Are there any particular things that you'd steps that you think companies ought to be adopting?
Well, ratios point to targets, and I'm a great believer in targets, because if you have a target, it drives behavior in order to achieve it. You get your goal quicker. In terms of best practice, the overriding aim is to get an industry that is able to attract a diverse bunch of people who will develop their careers within the industry, to make the industry more attractive to a broader range of participants than we do today. It is very much been the domain of the white male. That is mostly because the entry to the industry has been through university and through channels which drive that customer base. And what we have to do is open it up to a wider range. And if you look at the work that Pathways to Property is doing, which is encouraging people at a much younger age and a much more diverse group into looking at the attractiveness of a career in real estate, which is incredibly fulfilling.
And that's getting into schools and different types of communities, I suppose.
It's getting into schools and different types of communities at a young age.
And I suppose that ties in with perception as well, doesn't it? And inclusivity. And I suppose the property industry is going to look and feel more diverse, it's going to be more broadly accepted by the community as a whole and by government.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at anything, it's very important to look at it through the eyes of your customer. You know, within the industry, we think we do great things. Outside the industry, the touch point for many, many people, and probably the vast majority of people in this country, to the real estate industry is either through a rogue landlord or a rogue estate agent. And that's really what we have to wipe out, because people don't particularly want to work in the industry, and we have to change that.
So does that mean explaining better what the industry does? Is it explaining to government better? Or is it changing the industry itself and tackling, you know, issues like rogue landlords and that sort of thing?
It's all of those things. It's about understanding that our audience, our customer, needs to be dealt with properly and dealt with by its own kind.
So you've touched upon the excellent exec team that the BPF has. How do you make sure that the BPF is an organisation that continues to be fit for purpose and is sort of at the cutting edge of the property industry?
Well, the BPF is incredibly well linked in to the leadership and also the emerging younger audience within the industry at all levels. It has a team, as I said, led by Melanie Leach, which is linked in at every stage of the process. We have a fantastic committee structure across the BPF, which reaches into all the different channels of real estate and all the different asset classes, which is really the beating heart of the BPF.
So just to touch on that, so you have, because I'm not sure everybody fully understands the setup of it. So you have a committee for each different sector. Talk us through the subcommittees and that sort of element.
Well, there are about 19 subcommittees.
Okay, right.
So let's not go through all
each of them.
But we have a residential subcommittee, mm-hmm. a student housing subcommittee, an insolvency subcommittee, a planning subcommittee, a development subcommittee, and so on. And these are chaired by an individual from within the industry, a volunteer, and made up of people from member companies. And this includes all types of input, from lawyers to accountants to estate agents to insolvency practitioners, the whole remit in every way. And these committees will comprise anything between 10 and about 30 people covering the industry. There is then the main committee for the BPF is the policy committee, which is comprised of very senior people from the industry, either CEO or CFO level at member companies, chaired by the vice president. So I've just finished chairing that for the year leading up to becoming president. So that policy committee does exactly what it says on the tin. It talks about the policies that we as an industry are going to get behind or try to barter and represent to government.
And how animated can those get?
So they can get quite animated. We have to be very careful, of course, because the BPF is a broad representative body of the industry as a whole. So when you come into the room, you have to leave behind the agenda for your own business and pick up the agenda for the industry. And that makes for an interesting debate.
I'm sure. We'll come on to the particulars of the ongoing political turbulence that we have in the country at the moment. But do you think it's harder for the BPF to find the ear of government at a time of political turbulence when there's other things going on that it might seem distracted by?
It's a great question. The government is very, very tied up in the Brexit negotiations at the moment. We are just over 2 years in from the referendum and just over 6 months to go until we are due to exit the EU with no deal agreed yet. So the government are in a very difficult position negotiating a very complex set of agreements which are taking a lot of parliamentary and personal time. And so it is, I'd say, fair to say that they haven't got much time for other things, but that doesn't mean to say that we can't bang the drum. And in fact, you know, we've been banging the drum pretty loudly as far as what Brexit means for the real estate industry and what's very important for us, and they are listening.
Well, that's very, very good to hear. So, let's get on to that the big inevitable B word in the room. Looking at your day job somewhat, I think it's been fair to say that as CEO of Landsec recently, you've been cautious about London's prospects, cautious perhaps about the impact that Brexit might have. Do you think that mindset will shape and influence the way you go about things at the BPF?
No, I don't think so. I'm cautious at the moment because one of the key things for business in general is confidence. If business has confidence, it is able to invest. And if it doesn't have confidence or it doesn't know what its trading environment is, it tends to step off the accelerator a bit. And I'm talking about business in general across the UK. So one of the key things that we have been representing to government is that maintaining business confidence in the UK should be one of their biggest priorities in leading up to Brexit.
And what in particular would you like to see from them for the property industry's sake on Brexit? I mean, inevitably, it's certainty. Is it to do with employment and freedom of movement? What would you think the industry most wants to see from government on Brexit?
So the most important thing is to provide a stable tax and regulatory environment. Those people, those governments that tend to chop and change their views undermine business confidence. Funding and enabling infrastructure to release land. Working with the industry to ensure that we have the right skills, and that means skills from abroad as well. It is absolutely vital that we have the right skills on our construction sites, otherwise we will not be able to deliver what everyone wants us to deliver and what the government wants to deliver, which is improved infrastructure and improved housing. And getting behind the supply of increased housing across all tenures in the UK as well is very important for the BPF.
And I suppose the tenures, the housing crisis, that comes all the way back to the property industry's image problem. I suppose when the man on the street thinks about the property industry, they think about house builders, they think about the shortage of housing in the country. In terms of getting behind the house building agenda, what would you like to see the property industry do, and what would you like to see the government do to accelerate house building, the provision of homes in the UK?
I'd like to see a number of things, but the most important are, as I said, to provide a stable regulatory environment. First of all, to provide an environment where an institutional build-to-rent sector can be developed, which will encourage the development of housing to rent across a broad range of tenures. And leadership is required from both sides of Parliament on this in order to create stability, regulatory stability, so that investors are encouraged across Parliaments to invest. Secondly, it would be nice to see some leadership amongst the civic leaders in terms of encouraging development in their local authorities rather than pushing it back.
Do you think there's a greater understanding of what build-to-rent and the private rented sector is amongst government and the public sector? Do you think there's a sense of improvement? Or?
I think it's embryonic at the moment. There are 100,000 units either built or being built in by professional landlords in the UK at the moment. This is nowhere near enough. We have a 2 million housing shortage. This industry could be absolutely enormous and a great asset class, encouraging many hundreds of thousands of units to be built as long as we have a stable environment and people can make those long-term investment decisions.
One other huge thing hitting the headlines at the moment is the ongoing retail crisis, the number of CVAs that are happening, House of Fraser most eye-catchingly perhaps. What do you think needs to be done about CVAs? Are they fit for purpose, and are they being used appropriately?
Well, no one likes to see a business fail. The retail sector is suffering a combination of structural and cyclical headwinds at the moment. The structural has been well rehearsed over the last decade or so. Cyclical at the moment is self-imported. You know, we have a devaluation of the pound, which has imported inflation and sent up retailers' costs. Added to that, they've got the increase, obviously, in the national living wage being introduced, increased rates bills, et cetera, all ramping up the pressure. As I said, no one wants to see a business fail. And the CVA process was developed for a rescue culture. What we're seeing at the moment is a process which lacks transparency. And one of the things we'd love to see is better transparency and an even playing field for all creditors in CVAs. Otherwise, it's very difficult to see what's going on and see to delve into the process to make sure it's being done properly.
And does that literally mean publication of accounts to creditors? What sort of legislative changes could be made? Does it mean that there's a reweighting of the voting system, perhaps?
No, I just think it's very important that the way that insolvency practitioners and retailers and landlords and creditors deal with each other is on an open and transparent basis. And the BPF is drawing up and has drawn up a code of conduct that we would like to see all insolvency practitioners adhering to. This is an unregulated process, which is not transparent, and it should be.
And I guess also it's getting back to the old-fashioned thing of having an open dialogue between the occupier and the landlord from an early point in the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Super. Well, Rob, thank you ever so much for your time and for coming in, and best of luck in your tenure. And we look forward to monitoring it closely.
Thanks, David.